All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in control of everything. Every single detail, God, you are in control. We just acknowledge you on today. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your purposes and your plans as it pertains to this world, as it pertains to this ministry, and as it pertains to us as individuals. And we just acknowledge your sovereignty in our everyday lives. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right. The title of today's message is Testing is a Part of the Process. And so So we're going to start out in James chapter 1 in verse 1. James chapter 1 verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. Pivotal thing of the whole message. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. What do we think diverse temptations is?
Is it different temptations?
Okay. Okay, what is temptations?
Like, I see something I want.
That's a temptation? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Forbidding things that are forbidden.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is one aspect of the word. But in this particular instance, that's not what that's referring to. But we'll deal with it. So let's just look at the definition of the word. Temptation says a putting to proof. That is a good definition. By implication, adversity, temptation. Okay? So let's narrow this down, right? So in the instance of what this is talking about, there is a context for temptation as it pertains to you being tempted to do wrong, right? That is an aspect of what we can consider temptation, okay? But that's not the only aspect, right? So, and I'm going to jump ahead just to explain, because what I'm jumping ahead to is not really in the verses that I'm going to be dealing with, right? So verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot tempt with evil. Neither tempted he any man, right? So when it comes to the context of what we're dealing with, this temptation is not being tempted with evil, amen? God can't tempt us with evil. So understand this, temptation is a test. So when we looked at the definition of temptation and it said a putting to proof. So what that means is this, I can say, oh, I love God. Oh, I trust God. But it's easy to make those declarations. I can say, okay, I'll give an example. So like when Jesus told Peter, by the time the cock crow, you would deny me three times. And he was like, I would never do that, Lord. I would never do that to you. I would never deny you. And then he got put to the test, amen. So the situation arose and he had made a declaration, but that declaration got put to the test, right? That is a temptation, amen. So it is a testing of where we are. I'll just put it that way, right? So I'll use this example. So when you're in school, you can say that you studied. You can say all those things. Yeah, I read and I studied and all those things. But when the test roll around, the test is what determined, did you really put in the effort? Did you really do what it is that you needed to do? The test going to show. You can say all day long, yeah, I'm a good student. And yeah, I'm very studious. And when I go home, I read my book every day. I listen to what the teacher say. You can say all those things. But when the test roll around, That's what determined what's actually there, amen. It's putting it to proof. You said you did it, but the test is what puts it to proof, amen. So, when it says, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. So, let's look at diverse. It says various in character, manifold, uncertain derivation. So, basically, different kinds, right? So, let's just use the analogy that we're going with. So, if I'm in school, I may have a reading test. I may have a math test. I may have a science test. I may have a social studies, history test. All those are diverse tests. You see what I'm saying? So we all going to school, but each test is testing something different. You see what I'm saying? So this scripture is saying, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, right? And so what I want us to understand is this is part of the process. That doesn't mean that it's easy, though. I'm not trying to say that it's easy. I just want us to understand that it's a part of the process. So when it's happening, we know this is normal. When it's happening, we know this got to happen. You see what I'm saying? It have to happen. It's just what's necessary to get us from where we are to where y'all want us to be, right? So that's why this is saying here, it's giving us an understanding. Okay, because then even in light of the things that we've been dealing with up until this point, right, there's a perspective of things from the way the world sees them, and there's a perspective of things from what it looks like as a representative of the kingdom of heaven, right? So when trials or difficulties come from the world's perspective, then they see that as a terrible thing, right? Like, okay, this is coming against all my plan and my vision and everything that I want to do. So these things that's coming against me, this is not a good thing, right? But from a kingdom perspective, when these things happen, we got to understand that Yah is ultimately in control of everything, like what I said, right? So if he allows a situation to happen to us, he's in control of that, right? If he allows it, it's for a purpose. Even though that may not be fun, you see what I'm saying? Even though that may not feel good, I know 100% what that feels like. Everything that we go through is not easy, for sure. But it's a part of the process, right? And so, and then we even know from this perspective, looking even more detail, right? So when we look at the story of Job, you know, Satan came. He was a, you know, and Yah says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, of course I have. But, you know, I can't do nothing to him. You got him protected. So we understand even from that context that Satan doesn't have free reign to do whatever he want to do. He is still at the mercy of and at the behest of Yah. So he couldn't inflict those things on Job unless what? Yah said, oh, yeah, okay, you can do it. So, yeah, he was like, okay, yeah, I considered it, but, yeah, you got that hedge of protection around him. So, actually, let's look at that. That wasn't in my original scope, but since we're going there, let me find it and let us look at it.
Okay. For instance, it's like you're seeing diverse tests, right? And I'm gonna use this situation. It's like on my job, I have a job to do.
Right.
I have different tools.
Mm-hmm.
And to get it accomplished, but when you're used to doing something a certain way, and then you're, I'm going to say, I got monitored on something.
Okay.
And because I did not use the tools that were available to me, it caused me to, you know, miss something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like the grade I got. Mm-hmm. But it's like, God, we believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
We trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I know that God gives me wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and that's what I was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But he still gave me tools that were available to me to use to make sure I make the right decision.
Amen. This is true.
And that's what happened in real life to me. It's like I had the tools, but because I was going off, you know, what I knew and certain things, but things changed.
Mm-hmm.
So with the changing of the different tests, it's like I still stayed in the same, I'm going to say, little box of what I knew, instead of using my other tools that would have helped me make right. the hundreds.
Right. That's good, because here's the thing. I'll say this, even in that vein, right? So understand the tests are not designed to make you be a failure. That's not what the test is about, right? The test is only there to make you better, right? So when you're going through things, if your process is off, maybe you experience something to let you know, hey, this is where you can tighten up your process right here. Right. You see what I'm saying? It's all designed to help make you better. The tests that come from Yah ain't designed to destroy you, amen. Now, the tests that come from Satan may be designed to destroy you, but the ones that's coming from Yah, they not designed to utterly destroy you, amen.
Designed to make you broken.
I agree. All right, so we're gonna jump to, this is Job chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? So basically, Yah is talking to Satan. He's saying, hey, where you coming from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, oh, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Basically translating that, that's saying, yeah, he got a reason to fear you. Basically, you doing everything for him, right? So, yeah, he got a reason to fear you. Then verse 10 says, has not thou made a hedge about him? So Satan is saying, yeah, you got the hedge around him. And about his house, yeah, about all his stuff. And about all he hath on every side. So basically Satan said, yeah, I seen him. Yeah, but he ain't freeing you for nothing. You got him all protected around everywhere, all around him, all around his house, and on every side. So, yeah, he free you. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he would curse thee to thy face, right? So that's what Satan is saying, right? So I just want us to see this dynamic. He couldn't just go fly in on Job and do whatever it is he wanted to do and make whatever happen he wanted to happen. He didn't have the permission to do that. He seen all that was going on. He was like, yeah, I seen it, but yeah, you know you got him protected. You know it ain't nothing I can do. You got him protected on all sides. So in order for me to come in here and do what I need to do, you're going to have to put your hand on it and take off that protection. But until you do that, hey, absolutely nothing I can do, right? So we understand the dynamic of how it works, right? So if this is the case, then when diverse temptations come our way and we are representatives of the kingdom of heaven, then we know that this is something that Yah has allowed to happen, amen? And we have to understand it as such, amen? And so doing, we have to make the adjustment, if that makes sense, right? And I'm not saying this is an easy thing, right? When I deal with these things, I don't want us to be like, oh, he just said it and it's just a piece of cake and everything like that. No, it's a process, amen? And it just is what it is, right? And so I'll say this, even in the process, right? It ain't like it's just one test, you know what I mean? And you go through. No, it's just like when you in school. When you in preschool, you test at a preschool level, amen? And then after you have proven at that level, you go to kindergarten and you test at a kindergarten level, amen? And that thing continues to progress. Like it doesn't stop until the completion, amen? And so it's the same way in the kingdom. As we going through things and we young and we new or whatever level we on, God tests us at that level. When we pass that test, then it brings on more difficulties to a different level. Does that make sense? Because there's a process that's going on whose goal it is to refine us. Amen. Does that make sense? The process is to get us from immaturity to maturity. The process is to get us from impurity to purity. The process is to get us stronger such that we are capable for the end task. Does that make sense? Right, so there's a task that he has for us, but in order for, so let's say in the example of what I'm dealing with school. Now, the school system today is not as good as it's been in the past, amen. But the point of the school system was to prepare you for the workforce and for life, right? And so if school did a poor job of that, when you got out into the workforce and you got out into life, you wasn't prepared, amen. And all of the stressors and all of the responsibilities that came with life would sit on top of you because you wasn't prepared, amen. But if the school does a good job in teaching you and preparing you for life, when you get out into life, it doesn't overwhelm you. Does that make sense? You are prepared for the things that need to be done because the test that you went through prepared you for the realities that would come. Amen? And so that's the whole point of school. Initially, I'll say it that way because I feel like now there's some other things going on in there. But originally, the original intent by school was to prepare you for life, right? So it's the same way in the kingdom, right? So when we're in the kingdom, there are diverse temptations that will come our way, but they are designed to refine us and prepare us for the tasks that are before us.
When you say refine, what do you mean?
Okay, so refine is, and so I'm going to use that even, I got some videos that I'm going to show later. Refine is when you, so I'll use the context of gold because that's what I'm going to be dealing with. So gold, when you dig gold out of the ground, it's not pure gold. It's mixed with a whole lot of other things, right? So to refine means to remove unnecessary things, to remove impurities, to allow that gold to be pure, right? So the refining process removes all of the unnecessary things. So I'll say this within the context of what we're dealing with, and understand that the test that Yah allows us to go through are our refining process for what he intends for us. Amen. So he has a task for us. So his tests are designed to refine us for the task that he has, right? So my test and your test won't be the same, amen? Because his assignment for me and his assignment for you are not the same, right? So if that's the case, then what I go through and what you go through, it won't be the same. My tests are tailored to me. Your tests are tailored to you. And so you can't look across at everybody else and be like, well, you know, he going through this, this, and this, which, you know, or this, this, and this. We all going through different things. But all of the things that we go through are individually tailored to each one of us for the purpose that Yah has for us. Amen. So that's why, again, why I'm saying here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So there's a reasoning behind the things that's going on. We ain't just getting tested for no reason. There's a process that's in place. And there's an end goal that's going on. Now, verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it's explaining to you that when patience goes through, there's a process that goes on that you may be perfect. That word perfect means mature. It says an entire. Right, so perfect doesn't necessarily mean he gets everything right. That's not what that means. In the context here, this perfect means mature, right? So there's a process that goes on, because think about it. When we babies or whatever, we ain't been through a process, we want what we want, we want it now. We don't get what we want, we cry. Baby only mechanism to express what he want, he crying. Right, so but then there's a maturing process that as you go through, you can communicate what you want. There are certain behaviors that are no longer acceptable that are acceptable when you're a baby, right? You're a baby, you're gonna cry. Okay, but there's an age where you get to, okay, you don't cry because you ain't getting what you want to, amen? That's not how it works. You too old for that. Well, it's the same way with us in this process too. As we go through and we let patience, let your faith work with patience, and patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. So all these things are going on because it's a maturing process. It's maturing you. Now think about it. And I'm going to ask each one of us individually. Do you see things today how you see when you first believe? Do you get as easily triggered now as you used to get back in the day? That is a process that we are going through that's working this patience, amen? And so these things that we go through are what allow us a greater capacity to endure things. So I'll say it this way. It's like when you go to the gym and you work out. That's not fun. You know what I mean? Now, it can be some people after a certain process, but in the initial stages, and you ain't been working out, that process is not fun, right? Like, if you ain't worked out in a long time, you go to the gym, that process is going to be not fun. It's going to be painful. You're going to feel it. You do that thing, you're going to feel it for the next 2 or 3 days because you ain't been doing it, right? And so, as you continue to work out, those workouts, the weights bring resistance to you. That resistance that you get when you lift weights is what allows you to get stronger. Like, you don't get stronger by doing what you can already do. That ain't how it works. You get stronger by doing, or I put it this way, you don't get stronger by doing weight that's easy for you. I put it that way. You get stronger by doing weights that's difficult for you. Because in so doing, that's telling your body, hey, I need to get stronger because this weight that I'm doing, I can't do. So I need to get stronger. But if I'm doing easy weights, it's not a big deal. Right? Well, so using that to carry over, it's the same way. Some things we have to endure that are difficult for us, not easy. But in so enduring, it allows us to get stronger, amen. It allows us to be able to endure bigger tasks, right? So when you look at, for example, this is what just came up to me. You look at the story of David when he was out tending the sheep. He didn't start out at Goliath. The first test was lion. Next test was a bear. Then he worked his way up to Goliath. You see what I'm saying? So it was a process of where these things happen, right? So, but understand that the temptations are a part of the process. So again, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, right? So when you get to this, when you get to the state of maturity in the kingdom, you ain't desiring all of this stuff. Whatever the will of God is, that's what you're desiring. You see what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'm not in that mindset where I'm pulled by my lust and my desires and all those things. When I fully mature and I understand these things, that being perfect and entire caused me to want nothing. I'm not. Now, if God want to bless me, fine. But if he don't bless me, fine. You see what I'm saying? That's the state of wanting nothing. Now, with that being said, okay, diverse temptations are happening. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So, understand, even in these processes, where we going through tests, we do have the ability to seek God and ask him for wisdom, amen? And not only do we have the ability to seek him and ask him for wisdom, it says he giveth all men liberally. Meaning, when we seek him, he ain't trying to hold back. He giving all men liberally. And it says upbraideth not. Upbraideth not means, let's look at upbraideth. To defame, to revile, to reproach, to taunt. So he, when you ask him for wisdom because you don't understand or you don't know why, he ain't gonna revile you. He ain't gonna taunt you. Oh, look at Alan, he don't know what he's doing. that's not how God operates. He ain't gonna reproach you. He ain't gonna defame you. When we ask of God, it said he give it to us liberally, and he ain't gonna make us feel bad because we coming to him for wisdom. That's what he want, amen. He wants us to come to him. Amen. And it says, he don't, again, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So he's saying, okay, you got a test. And let's say, for the sake of the conversation, you fail the test. You could go to God and be like, okay, God, what do I need to know and what I need to understand? Because when the test roll back around again, he don't have no problem with giving you the answers, amen? Because his objective is not to withhold information from you. His objective is to for us to get the lesson, amen, right? That's the most important thing, right? And so, and even when you think about it, with teachers, up front, they trying to teach you all of the things up front. The test just goes back to see if you learn. But the teacher is not trying to withhold information from you, at least if they are a good teacher, amen? They trying to give you all the answers up front. And then they tell you, you're going to be tested on this, right? They'll tell you. But sometimes, you know, we just get caught up in the other things and, you know, we don't be as diligent as we should. And it, you know, we fail the test. But God is gracious that again, when these things happen, he allows us to come back to him and seek him for the wisdom on what to do. Amen? Again, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So it's giving you a context. When you go to God and you asking him for wisdom, and you asking him for understanding and all these things, you can't be doubting. You got to be sure. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we understand, okay, the tests are going to come. But we have the ability to ask God for wisdom. When we ask God for wisdom, we got to ask him in faith, not wavering. Okay, I know God, I'm coming with the expectation that because I'm representative of the kingdom of heaven and I'm seeking you in regards to this thing that you tested me on, I'm not testing me on this thing. You're testing me on this thing. So I'm trusting you that because you tested me on this thing, when I come to you for the wisdom and the understanding on what to do and how to conduct myself, I trust and I believe that you're going to answer me for the thing that you tested me on. Amen? And that's how we see it. We can't be wavering when we go to God. Now, verse 9 says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, right? So we're given a context here. Somebody that is of low degree, the testing is what causes us to be of low degree, amen? It causes us to humble ourselves, right? Because all these things that are going on, that's why the scripture talks about in order to enter the kingdom, you got to be humble. So in these things, these tests cause us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, right? But like the scripture says, but to think soberly according as Yah has dealt to every man a measure of faith, right? So these tests just keep us in balance, right? So let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, right? So you see both sides of these things. Those are of low degree. When you are humble, God will exalt you. In this instance, it says rich, but when you are of high mind, in that he is made low. So you consider it a good thing. If you up here and you brought low, then consider that a good thing. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. So whatever state we in, we gonna pass away. That is what it is. But in this state, it's talking about the rich, right? If he doesn't humble himself, he shall pass away. Well, we all gonna pass away. But in the context of what it says, because as a flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass. So basically saying, as soon as the sun come up and it's got that burning heat, it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also the rich man fadeth away in his way. So it's giving you understanding that if he don't humble himself and he continue to operate in his ways, then he gonna fade away, and that's an internal death. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So we see in the context here, Temptation is gotta come. It's a thing that we can't escape. It is a part of the process. It's gonna happen. Not only one, but a lot of them, amen. Not only now, but into the future too. Just as it's happened in the past, it will happen into the future too. But it's saying, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Temptation gotta come. But when it comes, we gotta endure it, amen. We gotta learn the lesson, amen. We gotta understand what it is we need to do. So blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, when he is tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him, right? So we understand that even all of these things that we go through, they are designed for an end state, right? It's designed to get us mature, but at the end thereof, he's saying we shall receive a crown of life. This process is not just willy-nilly and happenstance. It's designed for a purpose. And if we endure all the way to the end, we get a crown, amen? And that's how it works. So, again, that's why when you going back to the very first, this first verse, count it joy when a temptation comes. And I know they're not easy. We know that. It has to be difficult enough to stretch you. Whatever that temptation is, in order for you to grow. So, but when it happens, we count it a blessing. Amen? All right, so. Jump over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll just start at verse 1 and just read through. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. So sanctification of the Spirit is that process of refining, so just so we understand, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, right? So we understand this thing. We are kept by the power of God through faith, right? So even in the midst of all of this testing, when we do, when we doing what we doing in the process, testing doesn't mean that you falling short from the context of not meeting the requirements of the kingdom, amen? Testing just means you going through the process within. So sometimes you think, oh, well, you know, he being tested because he doing all this wrong stuff. No, when you in the kingdom, the test doesn't necessarily mean that you living a life that's not good. You could be living a life that is good and the test still come. So looking again at the example of Job, the testimony of Yah about Job was he was perfect. Have you considered Job amongst all of the men in the earth? He perfect and upright in all his ways. So does that mean that Job was out here tipping and dipping and sipping and no, that ain't what he was doing. But even in the midst of that testimony of Yah, guess what? Another temptation still came to Job, amen. Another thing still came to refine Job even more. So understand that in the context of what we're dealing with. So when it says, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. So it's just saying, in this process that we going through, sometimes, if need be, The testing have to be strong, amen. The testing has to be heavy. The testing can't be easy. But it says if need be. So if God is allowing it to happen, then the need be, amen. But again, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Many tests. Let's see what manifold is. Manifold is various in character. Diverse. So again, diverse temptations like we talked about before. So if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, right? So these tests are coming, but they are for the trial of your faith. And understanding this is saying that just as precious as gold is in the natural, the trying of our faith is that much more precious than gold itself. Amen. So again, the trial of your faith being much more precious than the gold that perisheth. Though it be tried by fire, this is your faith being tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ, right? So we understand, and like what we've been dealing with in the lessons up until this point, the things that we're going through. Remember I talked to us, make sure we be found faithful at the return of Christ. Well, these trials are what help us to better be able to handle all of these things that's going on. Because it's kind of like this. And I'll use it in the context of what I dealt with earlier. A kindergartner versus a 12th grader. Who can handle more? The 12th grader can handle more, right? Right? All those trials and that test that the 12th grader went through up until making it to the 12th grade enable him to be able to handle and to be able to comprehend much more than the kindergarten, right? So it's the same way with us as we go through these trials, as we go through these things. We get experience. That experience also allows us to know how to handle that situation. But the interesting thing about experience is once you get that experience, you can learn to apply it in other situations. So we do it all the time, right? Even when I'm teaching. Like there are lessons that I learned before, but as I'm teaching this lesson, a lesson that I learned before comes up. And I use that as a mechanism to help understand these lessons. You see what I'm saying? So it's the same way with us as we experience things, as we go through things. Then we know, okay, when I fought the lion, I used my slingshot. Okay, I had to do this right thing and I did this. Oh, got my form down. Okay, when the bear come around, okay, the last time I did this, you know, I swung it around and I did. Okay, let me try that again, right? So when we experience things, when we experience diverse temptations, all of those things are part of the process, but they are the avenue and the mechanism that Yah uses to train us so that when even greater difficult things come in the future, we have the foundation to build on to be able to overcome those things too, amen? So, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tried with fire, might be found to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, on whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, right? So all of this is a process that we're going to, right? So I want us to understand that even if it's difficult, I know we all going through something here at the church, all of us are, but it's not by coincidence. It's not by circumstance and it's not by happenstance. These things that we're going through we do have to endure. But God is in the whole process, amen. God is in control of it all. And he's using the circumstances to work things together for his purpose and his plan, amen. And that's how we have to see it, even in the midst of the difficulty. God is still working. And so, like what I said earlier, when it's at its toughest, we still see God, amen. So I use the example because it just came up. In the example of Christ, right, when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see that Christ, he hadn't sinned, he hadn't did no wrong, but he had a purpose to fulfill that God had given to him, right? He had to fulfill that God had given to him. But when he was in the garden, he said, okay, God, if it be possible, take this cup away from me. Meaning, it wasn't easy for him, amen? It was a difficult task. Such that in the midst of it, he was struggling. But even so, what did he do? He turned to God. Okay, God, this is difficult. And if it at all possible for you, for me, take this cup away from me. Because it's difficult. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so, that's the reality of how we have to see, even in the midst of diverse temptations. It's difficult. It's not easy. It's taxing. It can push us to our limits. But it's not designed to destroy us. It's only designed to make us better. And I'm going to follow up with one last scripture, and then I'm going to show us a couple of videos. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to men. So basically, it's saying those tests that come to us are common to men. It's not unique to us, right? Well, why am I going through this? Why the Lord testing me this way? Well, that test ain't unique to you. You ain't the first person that's done ever been through this test. So, wherefore, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. So, that's the thing. Understand, okay, the test gonna come. The test ain't unique to us. It's like this. When I'm in kindergarten, am I being singled out with the test that's coming to me? Or is the test I get in kindergarten a test that other people get too? Now, the test in my kindergarten and the test in the kindergarten in California may be different, but I'm not unique to the test that I'm getting. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not the only one. Now, I said earlier, the testing that we get is specific to us in the context of for our purpose and our plan, but understand that I'm not the only one that has a purpose that I have, right? There are some of us that those purposes are common. So the testing will be similar. Does that make sense? So I'll use it like a trade school. If I'm going to air conditioning school, then everybody that's going to be an AC tech going to have to take that same test. Amen? Because in order for you to do that task, there are specific questions that are tailored to an AC tech that you need to pass if you're going to be working on ACs. Amen? Right? And so that test won't be given to just everybody randomly. No, that test is going to be given to people who are getting ready to get into the field of AC work, right? So it's the same way with us, right? So we all have different individual callings, but there are similar tests that when we are going to be doing different things, that we will go through similar things testing-wise, right? So again, verse 13, there have no temptation taking you, but which is coming unto man, but Yah is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So he's saying, even though I am God, even though I am testing you, even though I am preparing you for something, I'm not going to test you beyond what you're able to do. So let's say you come into the gym for first time, you can only do 5 pounds. God ain't gonna give you 500 pounds, amen. It's just not how it works. Now, if he give you 5 pounds, I'm not saying them 5 pounds is gonna be easy, right? But for where you are, them 5 pounds is what we need. Does that make sense? Then when we consistently can do 5 pounds, he might stick a 10 on there. Then when we can consistently do 10, he might give us a 15. You see how that work? Go ahead, Sister Tony.
So even with what you're using as working out at the gym,
mm-hmm.
God also will allow you to have helpers,
mm-hmm.
spotters.
Mm-hmm.
When things get heavy and you're trying to push yourself to be that lifter of lifting so many pounds or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you ain't gonna go in there and lifting it by yourself when you know you can't do it. So he send you will allow you to have spotters to just in case the weight get too heavy to help you lift it up.
That's why we are encouraged of one another, amen.
Right, okay.
So understand this. Even though we all going through things, sometimes we have to share those things, right? So that you can have somebody to spot you, amen?
Amen.
So you can have somebody to pray and intercede for you to help shoulder some of the burden, right? It just is what it is. That's why when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, it's not just about us, amen? It's give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, amen? That's some lifting. That's some shouldering of burden, right? So it's the same way. Sometimes that burden can get heavy. But we are all here to be helpers of one another, right? So when that burden does get heavy, we should be able to go to our brothers and sisters and share that load, amen? But let's look at the rest of the scripture. So, again, verse 13, there have no temptation taken you but which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So if it does get too difficult in the midst of what's going on, he say, I'm going to provide you a way of escape. It's just like what you said. So if I'm lifting the weights and I can do the 5, but for whatever reason in this particular instance, that 5 is outdoing me, somebody can be there to help me and to spot me so that the 5 don't take me out. Amen. And so that's how it works. We are to be helpers of one another in that instance, right? So I just want us to understand all of these things that, okay, understand tests going to come. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. It's designed to be difficult. Amen. It is what it is. It's not designed to be easy, but it's designed to be difficult to cause us to grow, to stretch us, to get us stronger, to prepare us, to perfect us so that we mature. All of those things are the case. But we also are helpers of one another. And if it get too difficult, we can cry out to the Lord. Amen. And if it's possible, he'll give us a way of escape. If it's not possible and we got the strength to endure it, he's going to let us endure it. Amen. Because that's helping us. Amen. So I'm going to stop there in scripture, but I'm going to show a couple of videos to show the process of refining gold, just so we can understand what that looks like. And I want to use the video to help us in a connotation to understand that the things that we see happening to this gold is the things that happen to us in our process in order to get from where we are to the final state, amen? All right, so I'm going to play this one, and I'm going to be skipping around, but it's just certain things I want us to see. All right.
My name is Jason with Mount Baker Mining and Metals, and I was invited by Planet Gold to present at one of their virtual conferences this year. I want to make a video today showing the process of taking raw gold ore, like in the bag behind me, running it through one of our turnkey systems, and then taking the concentrate off our shaker table and using a process called cupellation, free gold in it, but also it has quite a bit of
salt. So I want us to see, this is the original state. This is gold ore. You see what that looks like, right? That don't look nothing like the gold we know, right? Not at all. You see how big and how much it is and everything like that?
That's what it looks like. That we're going to have to deal with once we get it concentrated down. So let's start by processing this ore through our 1 ton per hour turnkey system, and then we'll take a look at the concentrates. The whole process starts here with our primary jaw crusher, and the ore is fed into this vibrating hopper, which vibrates the ore down into the crusher, where it's crushed down to about 10.
So you see the first stage it is going through? It's shaking, it's being filtered through, and it's being crushed. You see what I'm saying? So in order to get it down where and get those purities out, it's got to be crushed. So that's what you see happening. It's being crushed.
To 15 millimeters in size. It's
discharged. So big as those rocks are, that crusher is designed to get it down to 15 millimeters. And I don't know if y'all know, but 15 millimeters is very small in comparison to the size originally of these rocks. So that is a compact and a strong process that's breaking this rock up.
Merged onto the conveyor that brings the material, the crushed material, up into this holding bin here, where the material can be evenly fed out the bottom of the bin using this magnetic feeder. Once the material is fed onto the next conveyor belt, it travels up to our secondary crusher, which is a hammer mill.
So, one crushing process goes through again. Now it's headed to a second crushing process.
The hammer mill is injected with water on the sides of the case there.
And mixed with water to get out impurities.
Fed down the top. And inside that case are rotating hammers. And a screen around the bottom of the hammer mill, which holds the quartz ore inside the mill to get hit and crushed by the hammers until it can pass through the screen. This hammer mill
So it has to get crushed up enough for the sediment to go through a screen. Y'all know how fine that is for it to have to go through a screen, right? So it started out as a big chunky rock full of all these impurities, but the process break it down one time. Break it down another time. Mix it with water so that it can go through the screen. Amen. Understand that. This is what
this
it's looking
is,
like.
This is a grind size of approximately 70% passing 30 mesh and 50% passing 50 mesh. The slurry then travels down the orange chute into the distributor trough on our shaker table. The shaker table does not use any chemicals. It is only water and gravity. The gold and the other heavy minerals, such as the sulfides, are caught in the grooves of the shaker table. The sulfides and other heavy minerals come down and report to the middling fraction.
All right, so let me go ahead and jump ahead. Okay.
Out of the riffles that were left down into the number one and the number two concentrates.
Okay, so this is that stuff, right? So all of the stuff that came out after all of that punching and everything like that started out with the big rocks. Now this is where we at, right? Where we see the difference of the refinement from the original state to this state, right? So you have this gold in here in this water, but it's still mixed with other things, but it's at a much finer level.
So here's our gold we recovered. Now I'm going to take a small scuffer.
So you see this part right here? This part right here, this is the gold. But there's still some other stuff mixed in there too, right? So I want us to understand that's still a refining process. So I'm going to go past this. So I'll just show this part because this is him sucking up the gold out of
the sulfides with it. That's okay. But I'm just going to take a scuffer bottle just like this one. And I'm going to suck up the fairly clean gold.
So at this point, because at no point up until this point would it was really looking like gold, right? It was looking like all this other stuff, right? But we see at this point it's starting to look like gold. It still ain't all the way refined, but at least at this point it's starting to look like gold. We can see some of the attributes of what gold is. So he sucks that up in the bottle. And this is him.
It's in there.
Filtering out even more. So
until I have all the gold out,
he's taking that gold.
Kick the rag. Out of the little
filtering out there. Even more, right? Okay, yeah, so we're gonna jump ahead in the process. All right, I skipped some things, but I'll just do this to show you where it comes out.
Blade to human health as well as him.
So in this, he mixed it with some other things, and then he put it in a heater
environment.
And now. Okay, that's what he's doing now. This is him mixing the gold with other things that will help purify in the last phase when the heat hits it. So we see the heat got to hit it, right? So you see all these things that happen. It got pummeled once. It got pummeled twice. It got sifted. It got mixed with water. It got pulled out of it. Now it got mixed with some other things to purify. Then it hit the fire, right? So all of these things are the trying of our faith, amen? We start out in a certain state, but there's an end state, and I'm going to show later why these things are necessary. There's an end state and a certain level of purity that's required for the task at hand, right? So we see in here that it has to be heated.
And there's our little precious metal bead. And here's our precious metal bead. And it's clean in the bottom.
Now, think about it. Do you remember how much actual gold ore started out at the very beginning? You saw all of that rock and all those things. And they went through all of those iterations to come up with this pure gold right here. Amen. So, I want us to understand in our refining process, there's a whole lot of things in us that need to be crushed out, amen, that need to be refined out. Because in this refined state, we want nothing, right? Like all that other stuff is causing problems. As we go through our refining process, it moves all those impurities and gets us down to this state. Now, I'm going to stop here on this video, but I want us to understand something else based on this video. I think it's this video. Let me just make sure. Oh no, it's not this video. Hold on, let me find the right one. Okay. Oh, sorry. There, here it is. All right.
This gold more pure so that when I make more coins or jewelry out of it, it doesn't crack. A couple weeks ago, I posted a video where I went to Baltimore, Maryland with Kerry and the Omni channel, and we made some gold coins. But the problem was, my gold had just a little bit of impurities in it, which caused it to crack when you're rolling out the gold on the blanks with the coin.
Now, so I wanted that statement to be said so we can understand. He refined gold, but he didn't refine it good enough. And when he went to use the gold for the purpose that he designed for, that he had for it, to make coins, because he didn't refine it enough, it was cracking, and it was doing some things that he didn't want, which didn't allow him to make the coins that he wanted, right? So I just want to show that part of the video just so we can understand that so gold in its purest form is pliable. It doesn't rust, it doesn't corrode or anything like that. It can be pulled into strings and stuff like that and not break, but it has to be pure gold in order for all those things to be able to happen, right? For it to be its most pliable, for it to be its most flexible, it's got to be in the purest state, amen? Otherwise, it can't perform the task, right? So that being said, this is what happens to us in the process. Can gold be used at a non-pure state? Sure. It can be 14 karat gold. It can still have value. But the amount of ability that can be used goes up the more that it's purified, amen? The applications that it can be used can apply in more areas the purer that gold is, right? So I want us to understand for us in our lives, the tests that we're going through are all refining us so that we can be fit for the task, right? And so that refining process has to happen, because if it doesn't happen to the level that's necessary for the task, then when the task comes, we crack, amen? We break under the pressure. We fold, right? And so we can't afford to fold under the pressure, right, man? We can't afford to fold when the moment hits, right? So we sometimes get tested when we on the back burner, when we on the back side of the mountain, when we out tending the sheep and ain't nobody watching. We getting tested, we getting prepared, we getting ready so that when we get put on the stage of Goliath, we ain't going to fold, we ain't going to buckle, amen? Those tests that we going through, consider it diverse, all those temptations, consider it joy, amen? Because if we can endure those tests while we on the back burner, while nobody ain't looking, while all these things are happening, then we found faithful and we put the proof and we pass, because remember the temptation is being put to proof. If we get put the proof and we pass, then when the stage comes and the time comes, y'all can put us out on the stage and be like, I tested that one. I know they can do it. I done seen it. I've been proving them all along. Now that the test is here, now that the stage is set, I know I can put that one out on the stage. Amen. And that's where we want to be, amen. That just means we just have to endure all of the testing until that point, amen. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Any questions or comments or concerns, thoughts? Nothing? All right. Well, in that case, I'm going to stop us right here. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Yah. We just thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Yah, for your tests that prepare us. We thank you, Yah, for the strength that you give us for the tests. We thank you, Yah, for the way of escape that you also provide in the event that the test becomes too much. Yah, we thank you that you made all of these promises to us in the midst of this process, Yah. And I just ask that you help each and every one of us, strengthen and encourage us. And I just pray right now, and I strengthen and encourage everybody under the sound of my voice, that even though the task and the test may be difficult, Yah is still able. And I just want you to know you have this man here praying for you in spite of all that's going on. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us that in spite of the test, that we know we just got to endure. And then at the same time, just know we have the ability to ask God for wisdom also in the midst of the test. Whatever is going on, I just encourage each and every one of us to ask God for wisdom and understanding on what to do and how to conduct ourselves, because he is the author of the test and he is also the greater of the test. And we just thank you, Yah, that you are faithful. We thank you for your impeccable character and all that you do. We just ask that you continue to give us insights and understandings and wisdom on all of the tasks that you set before us. In Yeshua's name, amen.